sit down. Keep all hands and feet inside the ride at all times. Or down, I don't care. We are not responsible for any lost belongings. Your shit is our shit now. You have made your choices in life. And as you will notice, there are no pearly gates here, so hold on tight and embrace the darker side of life. Cause this ride takes your soul straight down to Hell's Basement.
What?
Oh my god,
are you shitting me?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, just...
Welcome everyone to Hell's Basement. I'm Ryan. I'm here with Shane.
Fuck off, Ryan.
Brady.
Hello.
And Jenna.
Hey.
This week we're going to play a game that we played last week. If you didn't listen to the last week's podcast, it's called Secret Satan. The point of this game is we all, at the end of last episode, we all wrote our names down and put them in a skull. Yeah.
It's a plastic cup.
It totally is a plastic cup, but we're going to go with the skull.
I'll draw a skull on there.
Yeah.
It does have a
it's
skull.
It's got a ghost.
Does it have a skull on it?
It's got a ghosty.
So we put our names in this cup. We all drew a name that wasn't ours, but we don't know who picked the movie for us. And
sure
we have
we
to
do.
Try and guess. So, who wants to go first?
I want to go first.
Okay.
Maybe I want to go first.
All right, yeah. Shane.
Jenna, go ahead. Okay.
What was your Secret Satan movie?
The 2018 movie Hereditary.
Hereditary.
Okay, so should I start off just right off the bat guessing who did it?
It's up to you. Whatever you want to do.
All right, I'm going to do that then. So I'm pretty sure everybody knows I didn't watch it, but I'm going to feel stupid if I don't go with the obvious guess, which is Bitch, a.k.a. Ryan.
That is correct.
Oh,
I'm glad you went first.
I had to make up for last week. Yeah, that's actually a good thing. Yeah. It's a little bit more interesting. Anyway, so I thought the movie was fucking awesome.
Yeah, you did. Hell yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess I'll give it a little breakdown. The director is, I think it's pronounced Ari. Does that sound right? Ari Aster?
Yeah, Ari Aster or Star or something like that.
A star,
yeah.
Okay. Well, it's actually his feature debut film. Mm-hmm. You know, which he did a fucking awesome job for his first film. Like,
first film?
Yeah, he's got, I think he said he has 10 he has planned in his head he wants to do. So, I'm ready to see whatever he puts out.
On board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're hopping on his wiener. He's good.
Boing.
But they definitely have a fucking shocking scene in that movie that they really,
yeah,
that really surprises you.
Yeah, we won't get into it because we'll try and make this section spoiler free.
But there's a couple, in my opinion, a couple shocking scenes.
You know which one I'm talking about.
I think, but I'd say there's two.
True.
I do have to say the reason that I picked this for you is because I have a feeling like we have a lot of same interests when it comes to movies most of the time. And this is one of the few movies that really got to me. Like, I was 3/4 of the way through this movie and like I had such anxiety and like because the tension is so high in this movie that
you're not so much scared. You're just like, oh, what the
you're
what
just
the fuck's
on
gonna
edge.
Happen?
Like so much terrible shit happens to this family. You're just like, oh, my God. And then it gets to the point where I literally almost turned it off and like took a break and was like, okay, this let me take a breather here. And you know, like that movies don't really do that to me that much. And this one did.
Not me. I have like I turned my phone off and everything. I was into it the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that that her name I think is Toni Collette.
Yeah.
Annie, the main character, the mom.
She was insane.
She's a fucking good actor.
Yeah, she is.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. You guys ever seen United States of Terra? It was a TV series where she had split personalities.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It was a pretty decent show. Brie Larson.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, yeah. That's the first thing I ever seen her in. She played her daughter. The show probably came out in maybe like 2013, 14, 15.
She should have won a damn Oscar for that role, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
They all were really good, I thought, though. Like, all of their roles, they all did really well with their roles.
I think that the whole movie was just killer.
It was good.
I didn't know it was that long. I wasn't ready for that.
Well, yeah,
I started it late. I didn't go to bed real fucking late.
Yeah, it's
night.
A 2-hour movie, but it's one of those ones you kind of lose track of time because you're just so into it, you mm-hmm. know? Yeah.
Did you see this one, Jenna?
I did see this one.
Didn't you say you didn't like it? Or did I?
But you kind of said that you didn't really think it was that scary.
No, I didn't think it was that scary, but I don't know. I watched it in the daylight. And then...
Did you like it then, or did you just not think
it
was scary?
No, I did really like it. Okay, I just didn't think it was scary. Okay. The ending scene was the only thing that really messed with me, where I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's a killer real. End scene. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if anybody's thinking about watching it, I mean, it's... I wouldn't say it's not interesting in the beginning, but it's a little bit of a slow burn.
It is a slow burn. I mean, yeah.
It really snowballs to the ending there. I mean, if you compare the, like, everything that happens in the last 30 minutes of that movie to the first hour and a half,
I would say the first 30 minutes are probably a little dead. And then after, you know, they kind of, that's where you get your build up, where you're like really set in the movie. You don't want to take your eyes away.
Right. It's the definition of a snowball effect. Like it starts out small and then that fucker just gets huge at the end. Yeah, for sure.
I will say I didn't see the ending coming at all with that movie.
I actually didn't either.
It was cool. Definitely a cool movie.
Yeah, two thumbs up.
I'm glad you liked it. All right, Jenna, what was your movie?
So, for those of you that didn't listen last week, somebody gave me Jaws, and I mean, it was okay. I expanded to try and like it, and someone this week gave me Jaws 2. So... I'm very happy about this, let me tell you. But,
wonder what you're going to get next week.
Oh, I guess, are we supposed to? I'm going to be so pissed. I looked up, is there four? I swear if I get these for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be so pissed.
All right, so what did you think of Jaws 2?
So.
Who do you think gave it to you?
Yeah.
I think you did, Brady.
You think I did?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Oh, shit.
I had to.
I laughed so hard whenever I seen that. Good job, man.
I had probably maybe half a second where I'm like, what am I going to give Jen? Oh, Jaws 2. Jaws 2. I had to give her Jaws 2. Jaws 2.
That's funny. Did you like it? I've never seen Jaws 2.
I actually haven't either.
Okay, so it came out in 1978, so it's still kind of older for my usual go-to. Let me say, I thought the first one was okay, but the second one, it's kind of the same shit, a little bit of a different story, so
is the shark
I did
bigger?
Not like it. Honestly, I can't tell you what scene it was, because I think it is a spoiler.
Okay.
But in the first movie, there's not a lot of moments where I can tell the shark is completely fake, but let me tell you, in this one, there's one scene that's supposed to be, like, the big moment, and it looks like a straight-up fucking robot.
Robot shark.
It's rough.
Ah, shit.
It does open with a pretty good shark attack, though, and it's people that die in it, so that's great.
Was there any good character development? Because I kind of thought that the character development in the first one was okay. Like, I kind of was into them.
That was a big part of the movie, I think.
I mean, it's pretty much the same, and it is the same.
Same people, same characters.
I think his name's Brody, is the main character again. Okay. That sheriff there. So it is a good, like, following up on the first one, but it's like they tell the same story.
Yeah, nothing really extremely different happens then.
No.
All right, Brady, what was your Secret Satan movie?
My Secret Satan movie was... Hush.
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 Careful. Good thing she's not on this podcast.
Okay, so I think... I initially thought that you had given it to me because I feel like you're trying to groom me for getting into liking Halloween.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking it's Jenna because it's a new movie and it's got a strong female lead. So I'm going with that. Was it you?
No.
Oh, it was you!
Yeah, shit. I love those strong, independent women.
Nice. Yeah, you do.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I do.
It was pretty good. It did.
Did you like it?
Yeah. Fairly earlier in the movie, I thought it was going to go like your pretty generic slasher style, but it switched pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that gives anything away, but it's
no.
But yeah, it was pretty good. It. And another reason I thought you gave it to me is, do you know who directed this?
Oh, what's his name?
I don't know his name, but it's the same guy who directed...
Mike Flanagan.
Yeah, that's it. And that's another reason why I thought you gave it to me.
That's why I thought you would pick...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Actually, Ryan. Yeah, I thought I had that one in the bag.
Bait and switch.
I still kind of did, but I figured you'd go for Ryan.
I'm slowly becoming obsessed with that man. He's like the like you said, the Ari Aster, or a star, the guy that directed Hereditary. Like, him... Mike Flanagan, like these guys, Jordan Peele, like these guys are the next up and coming, I feel like, you know, really good
It's
directors.
Nice to know we have some good ones for our generation.
For our generation, yeah, because they're killing it right now.
Yeah, but I guess to give a quick rundown, so girl's in the, she is a deaf mute from meningitis when she's young, when she was younger, and she's in the woods by herself, and somebody like a it's like a home invasion movie. I'm sure you can catch all that from the trailer. So, and then all the hijinks unravel from there, unfold.
You dug it then?
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I had to pick something because I knew like you're probably like the pro out of all of us from seeing all horror movies.
I wouldn't know pro, but I mean, I've seen a lot.
Yeah, you probably, I would say you probably seen more than any of us, so I figured I better pick a new one and one I thought you hopefully would like.
Yeah, he's one of the ones that we struggled to, wonder if he's seen that one or not. Yeah.
Yeah. Then a lot of the newer stuff I haven't seen because I'm such a lame ass. I'm just like, I can watch this brand new movie or I can watch this old one that I've already seen 16 times.
Or I can watch The Gate for 40, the 40th right. time.
Probably, I wouldn't say 40, but it's probably close to like at least 15.
Not talking shit on The Gate. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is a good movie.
So out of curiosity,
I was just going to say, I was glad, like, I didn't pick that one for you, obviously, but I was glad when I seen you got that because I was like, oh, damn, I don't know if he's ever seen that one. Nope. And I really like that movie.
Nope, didn't see it.
And that girl, actually, Kate Siegel, that's actually Mike Flanagan's wife in real life. The deaf mute actor. Yeah, she actually plays Theo on Haunting of Hill House, that series that's real popular.
Is that the mother?
No, the like.
I watched like episode one.
One of the daughters.
Okay.
Yeah, she plays like the adult version, obviously, of the daughter. Yeah.
I think everything that I saw there was just kids sleeping, and then.
Okay, you must have seen like literally the first 10 minutes then.
Yeah. Okay, probably.
That's all I see too. Actually.
Okay. Oh man, that show is fucking.
Momo was hiding in the closet.
Yeah.
That show is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, highly recommend that too.
What do you think, Jenna?
Did you ever see Hush?
No. So that's why I'm just here like, oh, okay. And you didn't really say a lot about the movie, the actual plot. So I'm like,
I should have put more thought into like how to explain it without.
That she's a deaf mute. She's by herself and it's a home invasion. You know? Right.
Okay. But it's like she doesn't hear voices or anything like that. Like it's real.
She does hear voices.
People. Just in her head.
Right. Because she at one point, she lost her hearing at like, I don't know, 12, 15, somewhere in there.
It's no supernatural. Like, it's just basically a home invasion slasher movie.
So it's like a real life horror.
Yeah.
I would say you would like it.
Yeah, I think you would like it. Yeah. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So out of curiosity, what kind of, like, is that your genre of horror? I know you said before, like, all horrors, all you, but, like, is that kind of, like, for you?
I like home invasion movies. Okay. I really do. Which is funny because slashers aren't my favorite, but home invasion and slasher are kind of hand in hand. So... Yes, halfway there.
Cool.
Halfway there.
So Home Alone, that like hits it right on the head for
you. Oh, big time. I could probably take that movie and recut like a horror trailer for that, I bet.
Yeah.
Somebody has to have already done it on the old interwebs.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right, bitch.
Bitch.
Talk to us.
All right. My Secret Satan movie was the 2012 film written and directed by the great Rob Zombie. Called The Lords of Salem. Have you guys ever seen it?
No, I didn't even hear of it.
Yeah. Really?
Why are you laughing at me?
Make me feel
like an asshole. Like,
no,
asshole never even heard of... Yeah,
I'm a huge Rob Zombie fan, so like this actually is probably one of my least favorite of his films, but I still like it a lot. Like, his Halloween 2 is fucking terrible, in my opinion, but... Other than that, I like pretty much everything he's.
It's ever also put out. Terrible, in my opinion. But that is the only movie that I've ever seen that he made. Is
yeah, that's bad.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know about bad. I guess just goes way too far away. From
yeah,
the plot,
I really hated that movie. But
that's right there. What you guys are experiencing is what I experienced a lot with a lot of the remakes because you're so attached to those originals.
Yeah.
To where that's like.
Now, his, like, original Halloween remake I thought was really cool.
Yeah, he takes a hardcore detour. Did you see the second one that he made?
Was it H2O?
No. It's Halloween. It's just
I'm going to end up rewatching all of them. Like, there's a lot of them I haven't watched. But,
yeah.
Again, I didn't watch the original till I was... I mean, the last time I seen just the original Halloween, I was probably, I don't know, 12, 13.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it then, but maybe I like it now.
Back to Lords of Salem. Jenna. I pretty much immediately knew it was Jenna. And I actually wrote that in my notes because I knew I would probably be the last one to go. And
bullshit,
I figured
let me see.
Yeah, and I actually wrote, Jenna picked this one for me.
It says Brady.
Due to the fact of her knowing my love for creepy witches.
That's exactly why I picked it, too.
We'll have to switch it up next week. We'll make you go first.
All right,
you know, because I'm nice and I picked movies I thought somebody would like.
Hey, I haven't picked you yet, so... I got you.
Okay.
But the basic plot is Heidi, which is played by Sherry Moon Zombie, Rob Zombie's wife, because she has to be in every movie that he does. She's a radio DJ in Salem, Massachusetts, and she's sent like somebody sends her a record to play on the air, and it's from a group called the Lords. And she plays it, and it kind of triggers something in a lot of the females listening on the radio in the town that kind of reflects on the past history of the town. It's pretty cool, man. It's different. It's been a little while since I've seen it, so I was kind of glad to, you know, give it a rewatch again. There's some really odd parts, and the end is fucking weird as shit. Do you think so, or did you never see it?
I never saw
it. You just knew what it was about. Like, you just kind of knew it was obviously.
If you guys didn't learn, I Google ideas like immediately after I pick a name
You just wing it. I recommend giving it a try though. Like, it's pretty cool. I like witch movies and Rob Zombie, so I liked it. So
did you seriously never see it?
I've never heard of it.
You're not joking?
I'm not fucking
with you. Shit. So Ryan's the only one here that's seen it.
Oh, you haven't either.
No, I haven't seen it.
God damn. All right. Well, yeah.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. Okay. Yeah. Me and him talked about it before, and that's why I told him before. It's like the one on my list I've still never seen.
That's probably like the one Rob Zombie movie you haven't seen then.
Yeah,
huh?
It's probably the only one I can think of.
Yeah. I thought
you were fucking around whenever you said you didn't see it.
No, like I said though, it's fucking weird at times, but it's cool. Like, it's a cool movie. It's at the very end, there's this one part that you'll be like, what the fuck? It's not a very long part, but I guarantee you'll know when you see it. So yeah, I guess I can't really talk to it about it to anyone. Yeah, I guess that's about it. But watch it. Just watch it.
All right.
I will. Yeah.
I will also watch it.
All right, so now let's dive into the spoiler section of this podcast. And this week we watched Jenna's movie pick, the 2007 film directed by the famous Tim Burton called Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
This is the tale of an ordinary man who had everything.
Barker, his name was Benjamin Barker.
Until a man of power stole his freedom, destroyed his family, and banished him.
May the Lord have mercy on your soul.
For life. And in his sorrow, a new man was born.
15 years dreaming, I might come home to a wife and child.
Benjamin Barker.
No Barker. Sweeney Todd now, and he will have his revenge. Where's my wife?
She's gone. And he's got your daughter.
Judge Turpin.
You got to leave this all behind you now.
No. These are desperate times. And desperate measures are called for.
All right! You, sir!
No one's in the chair. Come on, come on! Sweeney's waiting. I want you, pleaders.
You, sir! Too, sir. Welcome to the grave. I will have vengeance. I will have salvation.
I can guarantee the closest shape.
So, Jenna, this was your movie, so just give us a little
fucking do it.
A little quick rundown of why you picked it.
Why, Jenna?
Okay, so I picked this movie because honestly, I didn't think of it as being a horror movie at first, but then I was Googling things and I discovered it is a horror musical.
Nothing like getting a movie in here by a technicality.
yeah. Nothing like that's the definition of reading between the lines right there.
That's what Daniel Tosh say, thin line you toe.
But, so this is, when you watch it, it is a horror movie with a great backstory.
I was scared shitless the whole way.
There is gore through it. It has beautiful character development, and Tim Burton is just amazing all around.
Okay, that's about the only thing I agree with right there.
Wait. And I knew that I've always loved this movie, and I knew that I would never get you guys to watch this movie with as much of an open mind as I hope you did. For any reason but this podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just a real quick thing for me. This is the third time that I've attempted to watch this movie. The first two times I had to shut it off. So this time I did watch it all, though. And I will say that it's a fucking sweet story. Like, the story itself is so cool.
I'd go with that.
Yeah. Like, if you seriously just get on IMDb or anything, the Wikipedia page, whatever you need to do, and literally read all the shit that happens, you're like, whoa, this is cool as hell. And then you watch a movie and they're like, nah, 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 nah. And you're like, oh, all right.
Well, there goes my fucking boner.
Yeah, exactly.
The songs are not upbeat like that. And I must say that Johnny Depp does an amazing job of portraying that type of character.
Now, that's the first thing I disagree with that you said. I think he was one of the worst ones. I think that chick was good. What was her name? Mrs. Lovett. Yeah. Alina Bonham Carter.
Tim Burton's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
He's the Rob Zombie, what's his wife's name?
Sherry Moon Zombie.
Sherry Moon, that's his, you know, he puts her in all his movies.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
At least a lot of them.
I just know her as Bellatrix Lestrange from Harry Potter.
She looks the same. There's a lot of Harry Potter characters making
like,
an appearance
all
in
of
this.
Them are, basically.
So that didn't win you over at all?
Oh, no, I don't want to say I didn't like the movie. Like, I thought it was cool. Like I said, man, there's just some things where I know it's a Broadway musical and all that stuff, so I get why he did it this way. But if he just would have took a different approach, I think, and just like went a little more horror, and like instead of making it a musical and actually like made it dark and creepy, like this would have been a fucking sweet movie, I think. Because if you like all the shit that happens, I mean, it's a depressing movie. Like, you know what I mean? The especially the end. Holy shit! You know?
Oh man.
They're all fucking dead, except for like three of them.
Well, wait a minute. You say you like Tim Burton, correct?
Oh, I love Tim Burton.
A lot of his things are musicals and have a lot of songs in them.
Okay. Yeah, just real quick, like The Nightmare Before Christmas, I fucking love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies ever. That's not a movie that I watch to try and be scared or to have, you know what I mean? It's just like a fun movie. To where this one, you kind of got to look at it at the same approach, where I want to look at it as... like, I want to be scared because it's a dark story, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like, man, this would be a cool movie if you would just take a different approach at it. I'm not saying that it's not cool the way it is. To me, though, I wish it was, like, more creepy and scary.
Were you happy with the level of gore with the throat cutting?
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Fuck yeah, yeah. The gore was awesome.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
If you're going to ask me my favorite part, that fucking montage of throat slitting, that's where I was like, now I love it.
My favorite part was they didn't cheap out with when they... Every time they dropped one of those bodies down in the fucking basement, it's like
the next snap.
Yeah.
They didn't cheap on any of those because I mean those are all, you know, dummies or whatever. And they look just like those actors, so they had to make, I don't know, probably how many people they dropped down there? Maybe like a dozen or so.
Yeah, probably. How long was that song? 4 minutes.
but like they didn't just like show one and then you just assume like no. I'm pretty sure every time they dropped the body, you watched it. Hit that fucking, those bricks in the basement.
Yeah.
And the meat grinder?
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool. That's what I'm saying. Like, the plot of the movie is awesome. Absolutely awesome.
So,
like, how much cooler is it when you kill people and then grind them up and then feed them to people? come on.
See, my problem with it, like, with it being a musical as well, like, there's a lot of horror films, or just a lot of the other Tim Burton films that are musicals. I do like those. But I like movies that have songs where there's songs in them where it seemed like it was a song first that they put into the movie. I've never been a big fan of movies or musicals that it's like sung dialogue where it's almost like we wrote the dialogue and we're like, all right, well, we need to put a tune to this, and it just like you said, you were rolling up here today listening to the soundtrack.
I was.
There's no way I could do that. Just because, like, even the flow of it, like, I mean, I'm real dumb when it comes to music. Like, it's got a rhyme. Like, it's got, you know, like, stuff like that. Like, it was just, no.
But
I didn't get my actual opinion out. I'll
but
be
that,
serious.
That was my only complaint about the movie was just this, like, the songs. Everything in between, to me, was awesome. Like the story, like you were saying, yeah, like the way everything unfolded.
That's exactly how I feel. Exactly. And then you going back to like we said about songs too, like in The Nightmare Before Christmas, like the very beginning, the This Is Halloween song. I listened to that like probably 500 times, especially in October. Okay. Like it's not that. It's just like just exactly what he said. That's exactly how I feel. Like it's just the musical part.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I think I'm just a very different person with being able to like, that opening song, it even sticks with me so much, and it tells the entire backstory of his life in that song.
That's actually my favorite song. I like that. Yeah.
Well, try actually saying those lyrics, too. Have you ever realized how much of a tongue twister
that is? I was reading the lyrics before we came, before I, like, drove over here. Just I can't keep up with it. But I don't know. They're good lyrics. I was going to try to memorize it just for fun, but I can't do it.
Well, I actually did.
Okay. Go ahead. Let's hear it. No, let's hear it.
But I do watch. I pretty much watch most movies with subtitles. So I through all the songs, I was reading the lyrics and stuff.
That's a good idea. I should have done that because
same here.
It's harder for me
to fucking understand them.
And like I don't want to say I was lost throughout a little bit of it, but like it was really hard for me to keep up with because like I couldn't. I don't know. Like the whole musical part, like when they're singing, I don't obviously. Apparently, my brain doesn't absorb it as well as when they're talking. I don't know.
Yeah.
You got to be into musicals to appreciate that aspect of the movie.
And really, it is a lot of the movie, and the musicals are so, I mean, so in the beginning when he talks about, like, there's a hole in the world, like a big black pit, and it's full of people that are full of shit, and the vermin of the world, or the...
Call it London.
Yeah.
They're going to call it London.
So right away you get the, so he's upset with the upper class.
He just fucking hates everybody.
Happened. No, yeah, it's awesome.
And then
awesome.
He goes in and he talks to you about how there was a barber and his wife. And the one thing that I have a hard time catching, and I can obviously see you guys did not get as involved in this movie as I hope.
Oh, no, no. Okay. I don't want to go there.
You don't know that.
We're not done
yet. We had to get the shit talking of the way.
Exactly. I just wanted to get all the terrible stuff that I thought out of the way, and then I'm good.
Because there were a lot of good parts of this movie.
Yeah, so, like, when I watched it, okay, I watched 15 minutes, like, when we first decided to pick it. That I forget it was, like, a couple days later. I watched 15 minutes, I fell asleep, and I seen the 15 minutes of the musical, and I was like, what the fuck. Okay, so I actually sat down and I watched the whole entire movie, and it really caught my attention. I'd say probably about a little more than halfway through, I really enjoyed it, actually. Like, it was good. I dug it.
Well, see, I think you have to go into it kind of like that, because if I'm being honest, when I watched this when I was younger, I took it as just a fun musical, but then I did the research and I actually learned about the history of what actually happened with the murders in London.
Yeah.
And then I watched it up so many different things. And that's what I was going to ask about right in the beginning when he's describing what happened. So he went to jail, the real guy, for a faked watch stealing or something like that. Like somebody framed him. And is that what the judge did to him in the beginning of Sweeney Todd in the musical too?
Well, they didn't say what it was. Yeah, he spotted him. He's like, I want to fuck that bitch. Get rid of him. And then fucking Weasel Dude went around and...
Yeah, Peter Pettigrew.
That's his real name? Or that's a
fucking rat?
That's Harry Potter. Yeah,
he's Beetle in the movie. Yeah. I don't know his actual...
Look
wait,
like
no.
anything else, though, by the way. Like, why is it he looks the exact
yeah,
same?
Yeah, he does look the
Timothy
exact
Spall,
same.
Dude.
Oh, he's
like,
definitely typecast. I mean, he's got the... I want to say... He unfortunately looks like a fucking weasel, but
I was gonna say it's obviously making him. He looks like a fucking pedophile if I've ever seen one.
But it's,
I don't
it's,
like
it's
it.
Making him money. It's
I guess it's working out for him.
Yeah.
And honestly, even I never knew that Mrs. Lovett was actually Tim Burton's wife. Is that what you said earlier?
Yeah.
And she's Prego.
I thought this was fairly common knowledge.
I didn't know it either until
I
looked it up.
Really?
Holy fuck. Now I gotta look it up to make sure I'm
No, you're right.
I am.
Yeah, no, you're
honestly, childhood Jenna had a hard time not hating her throughout this whole movie just because of what she did in the Harry Potter series.
She was kind of a rightful bitch in that movie.
And
or
she
movies.
Still looks
I liked
the
her.
Same. Yeah. Like,
well, she got her comeuppance in this one, so.
Yeah,
she got her comeuppance
Which was,
in that one, too.
As far as, like, to jump into that, if a single scene that was my favorite was probably her fucking burning alive in that thing. They actually did that pretty well. Like, she conveyed, like, terror and fucking, she was just like, ah! Fucking burning in that oven and. I thought that was pretty damn sick.
Yeah, you knew it was going to happen, but
they still
played it out perfect.
I just liked the way that they filmed it, and I mean it was special effects. I mean, what year was this movie? Did this movie come out?
2007.
Okay, because I see because just the CG in it was kind of not great, but they did a really good job on the her burning alive. That was because she was moving like kind of that. Creepy fast. You guys ever seen like a Tool video, like Schism and shit like that? Kind of like that.
Fucking Tool.
Well, if you guys had to pick a favorite song out of the movie, which one would you pick?
by far the first one.
Yeah, it's probably mine too.
I loved it, yeah.
I thought it was kind of cool.
You know, I would have guessed a different one for you, Ryan.
Really? What one?
I would have guessed the one where they're describing all the people and what they taste like if you ate them.
Yeah, that one's cool too.
For some reason, I thought that'd be the one where you would laugh and be like, okay, I like this.
Yeah.
Now, the beginning of the one where he was like, you, sir, would you like a shave? I love that, okay, though. That's probably like my favorite, one of my favorite parts.
I don't remember much of the song.
Like, I hate them all.
It was one though. Well, there was parts like when I'm trying really hard not to shit.
I like the third. I like the third one.
It's okay. You can shit. Well, I shit on your movie. It's
the
okay.
The one where he's in the judge is in the chair and they're singing together.
Pretty Woman.
And I was just like
walking down the street. What? Oh, not the same.
It was just the...
Not that one. No, damn it.
Yeah, I think I would have liked that song better, the Pretty Woman. But the song when he's in that chair and they're both singing, I couldn't, my dumb brain just couldn't get around like the art of the song and what they were trying to do. And I'm just like, are they fucking talking to each other about the same damn thing and they just don't care?
I honestly think I'm too fucking dumb to watch this movie. I think that's really
it. You're not artistic. Like, Jenna's artistic
in that
way.
She's deep, man.
She's a dancer and she's deep. Yeah, like, she has that artistic.
Right, she's a deep dancer.
She's a That's her new nickname. Yeah, I seriously, sometimes I'm watching this movie, I'm like, am I just too fucking dumb to like really comprehend what's going on right now? Is that why I'm not into this? I think that's it. I think you hit the nail on the head, man.
Well, I got annoyed that like he was saying obvious shit right in front of him. It's like if this was like a real thing where like somebody's like, all right, I'm gonna just get around the fact that the fucking barber's singing at me right now while he's trying to shave me, and I can't remember what it was, but he's like, yeah, you know, like you loved my wife, or it was some sort of like
that she looked just like.
Yeah, and he's like, what? Well, whatever. Here's my fucking throat. Like,
yeah.
Just like that. Like, if that was in a real scene, if that was in any other horror film, it'd be like,
yeah.
That whole scene would have played out, and the rest of the movie would have played out completely different from there.
Well, that's what's this whole movie. Even when I was younger, I held on to purely the love story and wanting the family to get back together. When I rewatched it, I got to look more into the actual murder history, and I learned to like Mrs. Lovett a little more. But if little things would have happened differently, he could have had everything back. And I think that's why the ending scene of this is so powerful, too.
I wish he would have killed his daughter.
Damn it.
Yeah.
It was so awesome how he killed his fucking wife. He would have got his daughter, too. I would have said, I'm 10 out of 10, man.
Yeah, he caught Anthony, like, finger banging her or something. Yeah. And he just slit both their throats wide open.
Anthony, get your finger out of his butthole. You're both dead now. Yeah, that's when Johnny Depp got real redneck in that scene. I don't know if you all saw it. That was in the deleted scenes.
Yeah,
we missed that part. Just a quick little thing. The critics really like this fucker, too, because it got a 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb.
That's the highest rated one so far.
This is back when Johnny Depp was just shitting gold with everything that he put out.
Right,
so.
85% on Rotten Tomatoes, 83 on Metascore. I mean, this was a pretty high-rated movie, because after I watched it and looked at that, I was like, fuck, maybe it's just me.
Well, no, I want to know. You're all deep into it. You've seen it how many times? What is your favorite part?
Okay, so this is a hard one.
We'll pick a couple then.
Okay, I'm going to pick a couple.
There you go.
It better be okay, fucking horror related. If it's going to be like. It.
Just for anybody that's listened to the past two episodes, Jenna was a little bit under the weather, so she needs to make up for her lack of talking on this episode.
Time to
shine,
deep dancer.
So go ahead. Deep dancer. Come on, double D, hit us.
Oh my God.
Do not call me Double D. I am not okay with that.
I was just trying to shorten it up a little. Go ahead.
Pretending like we're not trying all to keep this under an hour. Who came up with the nickname Double D? All my cousins.
Yeah. Don't worry, it's not what you think.
On both sides of the family.
Oh shit.
Okay, so anyways, I do love the opening scene in that song. It really paints a picture for the whole thing. My favorite part when it comes to, let's see, when it comes to horror, I have to say my favorite part is during when they're singing the song about how they're gonna eat people. I do really like that. I do like the actual grinding when she's teaching the kid how to grind the meat. I think that's really graphic.
It's
you can actually
fuck.
See it.
Toss that little fucker up there. I saw that. That was awesome.
I used to hate this scene, but watching it, I laugh every time. And it's when Mrs. Lovett's trying to tell Sweeney Todd what she wants them to do with their future. And he's just like, sure.
Oh, this is like the beach scene in the marriage.
That's what I didn't like.
Big dreams. Well, I hated that for the longest time, but now I learned to completely laugh at it and be like, man, she has all these dreams and he's just there like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Like he just kind of flickered like the corner of his lip to smile, like during like I don't know, just when he was trying to feign that he was happy, but he's just still so fucking miserable.
So the asylum kind of messed with my head, and I think it's more because when I was younger, I couldn't really grasp that part. That's the part that freaked me out.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a pretty cool part.
And I do wonder if that is true, like if that's how it was back then. They would just use these girls for their hair and things like that.
It is true. Where he lives, like the real history of it, it's fucking insane how bad it was.
So yeah. I think they could have, and I think that's what you're getting at, Ryan, go more into those aspects of how horrible London was, because they do a little bit with the trial, and you think it's going to be this big, scary guy that's this poor little kid that just told, like, oh, you're going to hang now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the thing that really gets me was, I guess this had a lot of potential to be a really fucking creepy-ass movie, like, because the story is just so dark. So awesome, and I just don't like the approach of it kind of being like a...
But it was a musical back... When did they make it a musical? It was a Broadway musical. Wasn't it like 1920-something?
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah. That's what I mean. I get, Tim Burton just was like, oh, I'm just obviously just going to adapt this into a movie, which, you know, is cool.
I would like to see a remake of the movie minus the musical.
Yes,
yeah.
Just to see what it would be like.
Right, because it's a great musical, but the horror film, if you're watching it as a horror film, it's like you have these horror aspects... And you get into it, and then the song pulls you out a little bit. And then you go back into it, the horror, and then the song pulls you back out a little bit.
Perfect.
Because you're in that mood. Just like you said, like when you watch Hereditary,
you shut the lights off, and you
want that environment. You want to be in that.
Yes.
That environment. You
said it exactly. I just couldn't get my retarded self to say that. That was perfect.
Good job, retard.
Yeah, thank you. Fuck.
See, not even all of it, though. There's just a certain songs, like, okay, like the beach scene you were saying about was dumb. That's the one that kind of did it for me. Like, when I rewatched it and I sat down, like, I was kind of enjoying myself. That's one that kind of brought me back out of it. Like, man, this is fucking dumb. I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. But, like, after we got out of it, we got back into the main plot and everything. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
That was really the only scene that really I pretty much hated. I just didn't like that whole song. Mm-hmm. Even though I still say she's the best actor.
Yeah, that's this version of Johnny Depp really seems to be my favorite role that he does. Because it reminds me a lot of the Edward Scissorhands and all of those type of characters he plays.
I love that movie, by the way.
You like Sleepy Hollow, Johnny Depp, then?
I do. Yeah. I also really like Sleepy Hollow. And any time that Tim Burton and Johnny Depp get together, I don't know what it is, but I just love it. Even when it's more of like the kids' cartoons or claymations. So some of the newer ones, like Corpse Bride, I just love them.
Yeah, they pair up well together.
That's his boy.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys are forcing yourself to relate to me right now.
No, not at all. There's a lot of Tim Burton films that I love. And Edward Scissorhands is, I mean, held in high regard for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sleepy Hollow is my favorite. Well, that and The Nightmare Before Christmas. Those are my two. Tim Burton is awesome, though. He's a cool dude.
So do you guys know who Wayne Coyne is? I think I'm saying his last name right.
Wayne Coyne?
He's a lead singer of the Flaming Lips.
Okay.
So I hadn't watched this movie in a long time, and when I was watching it, the Sweeney Todd, and I saw Johnny Depp. I was like, holy shit, like, this is what Wayne Coyne looks like from the Flaming Lips. He's the lead singer, and I know you guys listening can't see it, but he's the lead singer of the Flaming Lips, and like for real, like, that's just his everyday fucking look.
Oh, I actually like his look in the movie.
Yeah.
I think Johnny Depp played his role well. I don't know. He wasn't my favorite character, though. I do like whenever he bashed that fucker's face in with the tea kettle, though. That was awesome.
Oh, Borat.
Was that Borat?
That's Sacha Baron...
Pirelli, right?
No. You're
right.
Yeah, he was my favorite.
No, he wasn't.
I'm talking about the actor's name in real life.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't have it wrote down.
It's Sacha Baron Cohen. That's his real name.
Oh,
he plays Borat and all those other movies he did.
Well, I was so glad when fucking Sweeney Todd killed him, though.
I thought he was pretty good.
I hated him. He annoyed me.
Well, he's pretty annoying in most movies. He just has he's got that look. Holy shit, but he's married to, what's her name? She's a fox.
Oh, wow. I'm going to guess that.
Yeah, hold
Let's talk about
talk amongst yourselves.
I want to get into the end scene though. Like,
okay.
Go. No, I want you to talk. Yeah,
I want you to get in the end.
Yeah,
scene.
I want you to talk about the end scene.
I was
because,
getting in the zone for you to go, and then you're like, no, you.
No, because this is your movie. I want you to talk. So, yeah.
So you mean the end?
Yeah, like the very end, all the shit that happened. Because there was a part that I didn't catch until I reviewed on IMDb, and I was like, whoa, I missed this part. So,
well, I wonder if I missed it then.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, so before I go into it, I feel like I have to say that for some reason that kid annoys me so much. And I wanted to think that it was just because I was being petty and because he ends up killing.
You were. He was adorable.
Are you being serious? I thought for sure you guys would agree with me that
he's
kind
of annoying.
No, I wish
he would have died. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, that's... So I watched the whole thing and that's not what it is. For some reason, the whole role that kid plays just annoys me. But, so, in the ending scene, it's very frantic, and it really messes me. It's like, oh, you were all so close. In a matter of minutes, you had your wife and your daughter in the same room. So, Joanna is hiding in a little, oh, what would that be? Like a chest?
Like a treasure chest? Or like not
yeah,
treasure
she's hiding
chest,
in a chest, and he has the crazy woman come up. And did any of you guys see this coming? Did you see that it was, did you guess before this?
I
that it was going to be his wife.
I couldn't
was
remember.
Wondering if it was going to go there. That's, yeah, I had it in my head, yes.
That's okay. The part I still didn't know until the moment.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't know it was his wife. I totally missed that part.
I knew it.
I'm not going to lie, though. I played on my phone a good bit. So like that might have been a part where I was
dude,
like...
Dude, that was one of the best parts of the movie. The ending brought it all together.
Well,
the ending was fucking
amazing. Well, yeah, like, and then I was like, well, shit's starting to get crazy. And then, you know, then I put it down, but...
For the last 3 minutes, you decided to get into it.
No, but I had seen... I had seen the movie before, but a long time ago. So when the movie first started and you saw her on the street and she gives Sailor Boy the tip, I'm
yes.
like, I think that's his wife. Mm-hmm. I can't remember completely. But so then as soon as the other scene where you can kind of see her face, I'm like, yeah, it's his fucking wife. That's right.
Yeah.
But I kind of vaguely remembered the whole like. Psst.
I didn't know it was her until he killed her. Like,
oh,
I didn't,
okay.
I didn't have it pegged until then. Because they kind of framed on her and they made me think like, okay, so I'm supposed to, she has some kind of significance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what popped in my head. So I don't know, I'm glad they did it that way though. I just love the brutalness at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So to paint the picture, he's about to slit his own daughter's neck whenever the crazy woman comes up into the shop. So the girl is hiding in the chest now. And he then slits the crazy woman's throat, throws her down the trap door, which I hope we talk about a little bit more, because he actually had this trap door. The real murderer had a trap door behind the chair, just like in
know.
The movie.
That's so fucking metal.
Oh, don't worry. There's a lot of lore
okay,
to get
good.
Into.
Good. But and then at the end, he goes down, and of course, Mrs. Lovett's trying to hurry up and hide. She's like, oh, shit, he killed her. Like, I'm going to die now. He's psycho. And she's psycho, to be honest, but... Anyways, he sees her in the light of the flames. He then gets his cool long enough to burn the other chick alive, which is pretty great, as you said. And then he's there holding his wife. And I like to think that he knew Toby was coming.
Yeah,
he
yeah that's what
him.
I got from
yeah,
it.
He didn't
and
give
he
a fuck.
Because he heard it, and then you just see his
now.
Eyes just kind of like widen. He just he
why wouldn't you want to
his head
at that point?
Yeah.
Yes. And
he did everything
blood...
he wanted to up to that yeah. point, with you know, minus killing his fucking wife, but...
And it cuts out with just him there with his blood running down over her, mixing with hers into the drain. And it is just beautiful.
Yeah, ooh, I agree with that.
I agree with that totally.
Yeah, that scene right there with her, his when he hunkers forward and all that blood's pouring out of his neck and dripping on her face, that if that was a real person and mm-hmm. not like a dummy, that's incredible. That like that she could just bloop, 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 and she did not blink whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. She had she's taking been, those fucking facials, man. That's what it is.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she always knew it would pay off.
Sorry, I guess I spun that around.
From the
anyway, Jenny, go.
Well, no. Not that. I'm going to pretend that you guys would watch this again real quick. And if you go back and when they're singing the happy, like, Joanna song, honestly, from that moment, you can kind of tell because she talks to Anthony and tells a little bit of the story of the girl. So
she would have never have learned that that was her dad through the whole thing. At no point was that revealed to her.
To Joanna?
Yeah.
No.
Joanna.
Because
Benjamin
never told Anthony that that was his daughter.
You just want to sing this whole thing, huh? We shouldn't have talked this podcast. We should have sung the whole entire thing.
I was thinking the same thing.
So, Jenna, what was your favorite part?
Joanna was actually the catchiest song, I think. It wasn't my favorite, but it was the catchiest.
Well, may I
Did
add,
it rhyme?
Maybe I only like this because they sing, and I don't know if it's that song, but when Benjamin's talking about his daughter hoping she looks beautiful and describing beauty back then. Back then, being pale and having blonde hair and being, like, pale as can be was apparently beautiful. So, can I go back to then? Because that'd make
that
me
was
feel
in.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're...
Can I go back to when pale was in? Because I feel like I'd fit in then.
When you're somebody's ward and they're just fucking creeping on you through behind a hole in the wall.
It's so wonderful.
I'm going to marry my ward. Everybody's like, yeah, okay, sure.
The only thing I was hoping for, like, you know, the whole thing obviously was a musical, and at the very end, when, like, all that shit started going, all I was hoping for was the lead singer from Disturbed just to go, wow, and then just like, no, and then just start slicing through. Yeah.
All the dead bodies start falling.
Yeah. And then just that, let the body set the bar.
They could have played that whenever he was doing the
trap door. When he was dropping through the, when he was dropping out of the door.
Yeah, God, that was so awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, it was cool.
I think that Tim Burton's blood is so funny.
Red blood. It's so iconic. It's in every movie that he puts blood in, it looks the same. It looks cool, though.
I haven't seen Sleepy Hollow in years, so I forgot about it.
Yeah, it looks the same in that one, too.
I'm just happy that, I mean, to give it points to the whole musical aspect, at no point did everybody fucking join in one huge number.
Oh, thanks, Satan. God. That probably would have been it for me. I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Well, sorry, Jenna.
So, do you guys know, like, the first appearance of Sweeney Todd, like, where, like, it came from, sort of?
In culture?
Yeah.
No.
In a Penny Dreadful.
Penny Dreadful.
Yeah, do you guys know what a Penny Dreadful is?
A little magazine that came out.
1846, A String of Pearls.
Yep, that's exactly what it was. They were stories, like, published in weekly parts in the United Kingdom, and subject matter were, like, criminals, folklore, supernatural stuff, and they only cost a penny, so hence the name Penny Dreadful. And
that's all the more Sweeney Todd charged to get a shave at a shop, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Little
closest shave you'll ever
pretty
have.
Cool.
He got it.
All the covers of Penny Dreadfuls, though, are really, really awesome, too. So if you're ever bored, look some like covers of those up. They're awesome. Varney the Vampire and Spring-Heeled Jack, and there's a bunch of them.
I own a couple originals. I'll have to bring them over.
Originals?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. So I'm about to rob your fucking house. But the real question is, was Sweeney Todd actually real?
Oh, I think I can bring some light to that.
Can you?
Okay, so
Let the lore whore some talking.
As soon as Jenna picked Sweeney Todd, I was like, all right, what the fuck am I... Because I like to research every little movie. It gives me something to do, and I think it's fun as shit. And I'm going to say, number one, this was the most fun I've ever had researching shit, because it's so hard to find it. What I found was this book called The Real Story of the Demon Barber of Fleet Street by Peter Haining. And at first, like, when I read it, I was like, meh, the guy's kind of like a narcissist, eh. And then I kind of realized where he's coming from. So what it is it's almost like a conspiracy theory, almost. But this guy takes as much, like, fact as he can, puts it into this book, okay? And it's just, I loved it, because I love history. I don't know how you guys are with it, but he'll throw in, like, the actual history of London, you know, along with, like, you know, everything he knows for sure about Sweeney Todd. Because Sweeney Todd is a real dude.
Bullshit. Like,
mm-hmm.
For real.
I'm just kidding.
I'll fuck you up right now, man.
Is it true? So what I read, it didn't even question it. So did he really kill, like, over 150 people in that shop?
Okay, so if you want to just get down to it.
So he, like, he kicks Jack the Ripper's ass then, huh?
Well, that's what they compare him to, but they had no proof for this guy. Like, there's so much bullshit. Like, they frame him for other murders that he probably didn't commit, but when it's all said and done, yeah, there's a good chance that he killed over 160 people. That's the actual number. So he was actually killed. So he was killed Tuesday, January 25th, 1802. And he was hung because he killed Francis Thornhill. And Francis Thornhill was just like one of the most recent people he killed. It was a guy getting off of a ship. He went to go get a shave. And Sweeney did his classic, killed him, fucking dumped him in the...
Were they using the bodies for meat pies?
Yeah, that was all true. Mrs. Lovett, actually, whatever her name was, she was real too. And she has, there's an actual confession from her. You know, she is the one that sold out Sweeney Todd. So,
what a bitch. So fucking cool.
Yeah, dude, the fucking story's insane. So, I said, he was put on trial. I forget the name of these people. I got it wrote down here. Give me a second. So the Bow Street Runners, which is just basically think of them as cops. They they started out small, but they ended up being kind of cops of London.
Like like Pinkerton kind of thing, like their own private little...
Yeah, they ended up being bigger than, you know, kind of, they grew.
Okay.
But anyway, they found, I don't know if you got, how much do you guys know the history of the actual, you know?
Yeah, I'm not real, like literally as far as I knew, Sweeney Todd was in A Penny Dreadful and that was it.
Okay.
So well, like you telling me all this stuff is new to me.
Yeah,
so.
I learned that Johnny Depp played Sweeney Todd and he was in a story in Penny Dreadful tonight.
Okay, here's the basics. So he has his shop, right? And there was apparently all these catacombs, these caverns underneath his shop that went underneath a church that went over to Mrs. Lovett's where she sold her meat pie. And so it started out, the cops got a report that the church started smelling really bad. Like they get all these awful smells. And this was back in like 1799. So this dude's been gone for like 15 years straight killing people.
All I can imagine is this drunk fuck at a pub just being like, "Oi! Oi, Bart, you smell burning flesh?" Nah. Want another beer? Sure do.
They got super redneck there at the end.
Like your London accent. Well, is
British
really
redneck.
Here's how that started. It started out more Australian, and I was like, no, I gotta tone it down. And then as I toned it down, it went more redneck. So,
oh, God.
Okay, note to self, don't try accents.
I like it though.
Please do.
No, I like that. I think that's exactly how it went.
You're the designated accent person.
Crikey.
Crikey. Shit.
All right.
So anyway, like Jenna said, okay, we'll get to exactly how he did it. Like Jenna said, the fucking chair was real. They found it. So he had a chair, and then underneath he had this lever. And when he pressed it, it flipped, and it went to a chair that looked exactly like the other chair, like to a T. So it would drop people down. He'd walk down. He'd slit their fucking throats. And then towards the end, he would hack them up, and he would deliver like all the meat and everything to Mrs. Lovett. And the cops actually found multiple bodies.
Through the catacombs.
Yeah.
Wait. You're saying the chair was just like the chair in the movie, or this was like, it was like the...
There was two chairs.
The spooky reverse wall thing, like the library wall flips around and there's an identical library wall behind it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep, exactly. So two chairs, exactly identical. He would just flip the lever, drop them down, go down, slit their throats, cut them up like it was nothing, and then go deliver them to Mrs. Lovett.
You know, that's pretty fucking awesome. Like, for back in the day, like, that's some straight-up, like, MacGyver shit there.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. It's a very believable story because I don't know a lot about Sweeney Todd, but I do know that London was fucking brutal. Like, there's so much shit that happened behind the scenes that, like, it's ridiculous.
That's the idea behind the whole book. Like, that's what this guy says. If you're going to be a murderer, this is the fucking perfect place to be a murderer.
Oh, my God, exactly.
Because you can get away with it. Now, he's convicted of killing one guy. Like this is what got him hung. He died because of killing one guy. The cops found multiple bodies, but they could tie him to one guy coming off of a ship.
It's no different really than Jack the Ripper. Like, you know what I mean? They say that he killed how many people, but at this point you could have been multiple murderers because, like you just said, you could get away with so much shit back then that who the fuck knows, you know what I mean? Who knows? So
yeah, well, so he died in 1802. It was 1833. They dug up like underneath the church. They were doing some kind of renovating and they found like all these fucking bodies. But see, that's the thing.
This would be the coolest thing in the church, wouldn't it?
Yeah, really. This is why they call it a conspiracy theory though, because like there's no way to prove this guy fucking killed 160 people, but there's so much evidence that points that he possibly could have did it. He had the chair. Like, it's fact he had the chair. They have enough information to prove that he killed at least one person in the chair. They can pretty much guarantee that. But as far as him killing all 160 people, the reason they say 160 is when the officers came and, like, ransacked his shop, they found enough clothing and apparel and jewelry, all that shit, to make up for 160 people. That's why that's where they get
that
number from.
What the fuck was
he
doing with it? Getting ready to fucking sell that shit on eBay? Like, get rid of that too?
Dude, they were rolling in the dough, him and Mrs. Lovett.
No, the fucking dead guys are getting rolled up in the dough.
Dude, that was a good one. Nice. That was a good one.
Thank you. All right, I'm leaving. That was probably the highest moment of my night, so.
Quit while you're ahead.
Yep.
Oh, but
is like any of the part where the judge... Is that all true too?
That love story and all
Yeah, it's like none of that's.
No, there's no way to confirm. There's a possibility he was married before Mrs. Lovett, So, like, even him and Mrs. Lovett, they weren't even, nobody even knew they knew each other up until the end. So she went to jail. So she confessed, right? She confessed that it was him, but she poisoned herself in jail, so she died before she can actually go on trial. So that's why she could never actually go on trial against him.
You know what's ironic about that? His wife poisoned herself in the movie.
Really? Fuck.
Wow.
Yeah, you're right.
Somebody did the research.
But also, I wanted to ask you one more thing. I don't know if you did see it. I read somewhere that he actually, so in the movie, they make it seem like he was an adult with a wife and a kid whenever the judge did all this to him.
Mm-hmm.
Where I read once, when he was falsely imprisoned, and in the movie it seemed like sent away even, he was only 14.
Yeah. Okay, so 14. Once again, somebody did the research. Okay, so the real history, and this is actually fact, because of the guy that got hung as Sweeney Todd. So he had the perfect setup to be a serial killer. His dad was a drunk. His mom was a drunk. His mom was a good mom up until he was just a little old enough to, like, where he wasn't a baby anymore. So, you know, they were both ended up being alcoholics. He went to jail at 14. Okay.
Jesus.
Yeah, so he went. He actually got sentenced to 5 years in prison at Newgate Prison. And this is actually kind of good for him because normally people like him just got hung. Because, like we said, London at this time, you just got fucking killed.
That's all I can think of is that funny-ass scene in the movie where, like, he's like, this is your second offense, you're getting hung. And then they go to that, like, fucking, like, eight-year-old boy's like...
Well, here in prison, he met this dude named Plummer. And this is the guy that taught him to be a barber. And basically taught him all his tricks, and this is how he escalated into being Sweeney Todd. He was bent on vengeance. That was his life. Like, he was just this fucking prison inmate, and when he got out, he was like, I'm ready to fuck some people up. And that's pretty much
people
what he did.
People never treated me right, so I'm going to just fucking kill everybody.
Basically, it's what he did. That's how he made his money. He killed people who had money. It was fucking...
Oh, so he killed them to rob them. And then, when did they say when it got tied into him bringing the bodies over for meat?
There's two very, like, there's two kills that he had before he got his shop on Fleet Street, and they were, like, right out in the open, but nobody could confirm, you know, this is back in the 1700s, you know, it's,
all
right. You can't confirm it's him. He killed one guy fucking right out in the open, and they just said it was a crazy barber, but nobody ever caught on to it was him.
Goddamn.
And that building's still there, and that's actually, when I was talking to my husband about some of the research, I was like, we can still go there. That building's there. He's like, it's in London, so I don't know how you're getting there. But...
186 Fleet Street.
All right, Patreon, go ahead and throw that money at us so we can go
there.
Yeah,
we have a GoFundMe account
to
see the building.
We got to get that shit set up.
You know what the funniest shit about, like, everything I read was? Okay, here's his shop. He bought this fucking shop on Fleet Street, and when he bought it, there's, like, two oil lamps so you can barely see when you walk in. The ceiling's falling down. He had a thing of blood, of like a jar of blood and a jar of like fucking toes and shit sitting out in the front. Because back in those days, like a barber wasn't just a barber. He's actually a doctor too. Right.
Yeah. Wasn't it had something to do with the spindle thing that was outside, like the candy cane?
The barber pole?
Yeah, there was like certain a color code or something like that. Go ahead. It looks like you know what the hell you're talking about because I don't.
The red and the white. Yeah, so back in those days... they used to think bloodletting was like a thing that would help cure diseases.
Right.
Like, you know, say cancer and shit like that. So that's the reason he had like a vial of blood actually out front to show that he was a barber. So they would actually bleed you out thinking it would get rid of your disease.
I got a fun little barber story this reminds me of because you said the jars. I used to go to a barber when I was a kid. And this dude, who the fuck knows what was in this jar. But when he would literally go out from underneath this, he'd open up the cupboards, bring this fucking like 1 gallon jar, boom, and be like, those are ears. He said, if you move, I could accidentally cut your ear off and it's going to go in this jar. And I tell you what, a little kid, man, move a fucking muscle.
Were those for real ears?
I don't know what the fuck it was. I was like, I'm trying to think like this is
what
back...
if he was serious?
This is when I lived in like Niagara Falls. And it may have been a woman too. I'm trying to remember. I'll have to ask my parents, because they used to take me to it. It was on Military Road, Niagara Falls, and I remember that. And I remember just being like... Yeah,
he's in jail now.
That's pretty memorable.
Yeah, but who knows? It could have been anything, like fucking rubber bands or some shit.
That is something, though, like, in the movie when he's, you know, he flips out a straight razor, you know, and, like, they're, like, you know, lean back like that. I've never got, a clean shave with a straight razor before, and I just feel like that would be kind of a...
You're very vulnerable there.
You never know what the hell's going through anybody's mind.
I just got one having last a bad week day? For the first time.
What if his wife got in a fight with him last night and he's just like, no, fuck it, I'm taking it out on this guy. You know?
I'll tell you, it'd be really disappointing, this is kind of maybe sound a little fucked up, that if he did put all that work into that whole fucking switcheroo chair thing, and he did only kill one person out of the 160.
Yeah.
Because he must have been all fucking geared up, like spent all kinds of money and time to do this.
Oh, no, it was just one dude that they can put enough pieces together. No, that like I said, they had enough bodies down there to fucking accuse him for 160.
I wonder how many people in London ate meat pies.
Dude, he was gone for like 15 years or 17 years is how long it was going on. So
that's probably not the worst stuff they ate back then, man. I mean, it was pretty fucking terrible times.
Yeah, really bad times. Jesus.
Well, I can say that this book, I recommend anybody to read it because it doesn't just, I mean, you guys are into the horror shit, right? So it doesn't just stick with this theory. So you guys seen The Hills Have Eyes?
Yep.
Okay, so.
Which one?
They go, the original.
Yep.
So they go into this.
I've seen them both.
This guy named, do you know who Sonny Bean is?
No.
Okay, so it's like the dude that, he's the inspiration for Hills Have Eyes. Sorry. And it's these people in like Ireland that killed like over 1,000 people.
Like as a fucking cult or?
Well, kind of. Like it's this dude and his wife who ended up having 14 kids who had 14 grandkids. And over the course of 25 years, yeah.
Oh, Sam, how else are you going to feed that many fucking mouths?
Yeah, they lived in like some cave, and I guess they got away with it for that long.
Lived in a cave?
Yeah, they all lived in a cave. It's fucking crazy. It's a crazy story. You should look it up.
Is the cave still there?
I don't know. I would like to fucking go in if it is.
Investigate it.
Can you guys also pay for us to go to Ireland now? Yeah. That'd be great.
We're asking an awful lot of our very few followers.
Hey, Groupon always has great deals.
Yeah. All right.
So would you say the book is better than the movie?
Because I'm a history guy, yeah. No. Sorry, Jenna's staring at me like she's
happy birthday,
cut my head
Jenna.
Off.
Jenna's like, do you need a shave?
You, sir. How about a shave?
I mean, for me personally, to give this movie the rating, I'm going to have to give it an overall score 73.
I was not expecting that.
The story was great. It's just the music. The fucking music.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm going to feel like that's a little bit of a birthday present, so.
I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. fuck. I hate to do this to you, Jenna, but I'm going to give it like a 45, probably.
It's okay. I can respect that. I want you to be honest.
Yeah, okay. Oh, being honest, like a 23. No, 45, because like I'm in the same exact boat as Brady. It just, every time I was picked up, like I was like, oh, fuck. And they're just like. Then they just start, and I'm like, nah. I just started, and then I just immediately picked up my phone, and I was like, fuck, god damn it, you know?
So you missed, like, the whole storyline if you didn't listen to the music, right?
I guess that's probably why I'm retarded and didn't follow along a lot, because I just was, every time they sang, I was like, fuck. I appreciate the movie for what it is. It's a very well-done movie, just not for me. That's pretty much all I can say.
Shane's research probably boosted my score a little bit. Mm-hmm. If I was asked to give a score before finding out how much, like a lot of the real life stuff, I don't know. I don't know what I would
give. I will say, if I would see this in a live show, I would be totally different because I think this would be a very cool live musical to see.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool.
You would go to Broadway to see this.
I would definitely do that.
I would go to cast.
The best Broadway show ever.
I think it would be cooler to see it as a live play. Not more of music, but I would definitely see it as either way. Like I think,
yeah,
I think
sir, well, that's it comes right down to the expectations. You know what I mean? Like it would make a great musical, but it's a different story with a horror film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, bye you.
All right. I got to make my peace first. So, like I said, at first, I fucking hated it, but then I did exactly what I'm glad I did. I did all my research and then I rewatched it. And after it's all said and done, I got to give it like a 60 out of 100. Because it's like they were kind of getting at, it's the same thing. Horror-wise, I can't rate it too high because I just don't rate it as much as a horror movie until you get to the end and he starts fucking people up, which is awesome.
As a story, horror, way up there.
Yeah, as a story, it's
as the movie
amazing.
Is made, though, as a horror movie.
That's just because I'm a heavy metal guy and I didn't hear any heavy metal. If they would have fucking did heavy metal,
yeah.
Some Drowning Pool in there.
I would have. Yeah.
Yeah, they would have done the, let the bodies... fuck. Yeah, we would have been way up there.
Yeah. So, but that's where I'm at with it. What's up, Jenna?
So if I'm being honest, when it comes to just wanting to be scared, this movie didn't do it for me. But when it comes to just my pure enjoyment, this movie is way up for me. It's one of my favorites. I'd probably give it a 98. I love storytelling through music. I love the detail and the choreography into those words and how much time that would have had to have taken. I can listen to it and pick up the whole story from the song, so that does a lot for me. And I think that takes like a great deal of talent to be able to do that. So I like musicals in general, and I love horror too. So the fact that they mixed it for this, I was just like, this is me.
Yeah,
it's Johnny Depp, it's Tim Burton, it's a musical, it's a horror. Like, which check, I like check, that. Check.
This is literally everything you like in one single movie.
I like it. It shows the different personalities, though. That's why I like it.
It's cool that all four of us have different opinions. So,
what does everybody think? Recommend watch it or not recommend watch it? This is the tough question.
I'm actually going to like straight up say, yeah, watch it. Because it's one of those things where like you like it or you don't, you know? You're up and down about it.
I already know Ryan's. Ryan's is watch it, but bring your cell phone.
Bring the lyrics to all the songs so you can read them while they're singing.
Put the subtitles on.
Yeah, there you go.
Put the subtitles on. Yeah, go ahead and watch it. But here, watch everything. Fucking watch everything.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
I mean, I of course would say watch it. It was my pick, and it is something I feel everybody should be open-minded to and give it a chance.
And that wraps up Sweeney Todd. Thanks for listening, everyone. And in 2 weeks, I want to play a game. We're going to be discussing Shane's movie pick, the 2004 film Saw. If you like what you heard, let us know. Rate us on your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Instagram at Hell's Basement Podcast. If you want to tell us how rad we are, or shitty, send us an email at hellsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, don't forget to embrace a darker side of life.